MDRadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty treat? I know that you are, and I know you know. That means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike, and you know, so often folks come by and they say, hey, Dr. Mike, you know, you got my taste buds going, you got me salivating, you've got me fostering my inner chef. How do I bring this to fruition? How do I learn to cook some incredible tasty food? And, you know, I can think of no better program where yours truly is on faculty than Missoula College. Chef Campbell has put together all the tasty treats. And if you want to check it out, just head over to mc.umt.edu. Once again, that's mc.umt.edu. Check on the business technology tab there and head on over to the culinary arts program. You are going to be blown away by all the tasty creations that you can be taught to come from your very own inner chef. And speaking of tasty creations, we've got a great guest today. We've got Hillary Boynton. She is a certified holistic health counselor. She received her BA in psychology from the University of Virginia. Go Wahoos. Always a treat to have a fellow Wahoo on the program. Then she went on and was trained at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. So a little shift from psychology. We will be talking about that. And she really works, as I do, with this food of medicine concept. She integrates paleo and primal philosophies and is connected with the ancestral health movement from the Weston A. Price Foundation. Hey, wahoo wah! Welcome to the program, Hillary.
Wahoo wah! Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about your journey for the folks, because you started out with a psychology background at the University of Virginia.
I did, you know. So a little bit before I went off to UVA, I when I was in high school, I fell for the whole fat-free line of thinking that came into the world at around the 80s and 90s, and I went off to UVA, and I was a soccer player there, so I was big into nutrition and fitness, and I actually tried to design my own major of nutrition and fitness, in which they didn't end up letting me do because there was just too much red tape, and it was kind of a new thing. And I'm quite
welcome to academics.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I felt like everybody there knew what they wanted to do, and they all had this tracks, and they went into like the comm school and this and that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what I want to do. But I did know that I was so into nutrition and fitness, and I thought I had this answer with fat free, like this is it, and how could people eat fat? And I remember my freshman year, I would eat like a box of shredded mini wheats because there was no fat in it. And then I'd have, you know, my pretzels and Diet Coke and bagels. And when I was pasta loading for carbo loading for soccer, and we go to Bodo's Bagels and whatnot. And anyway, I thought I had the answer. And I'm so thankful that they didn't let me major or design my major in nutrition and fitness, because I feel like I really would have learned a lot of stuff that I would have had to unlearn knowing what I know now. So I majored. They said major in psych and then go on to exercise physiology for graduate school, and then between the chemistry and biology and psychology, I just was like, I'm going to just major in psych.
It's an interesting kind of full circle that we're seeing, because, you know, you started in psychology, but what we're really learning today, and I'm kind of jumping the shark a little bit here, because we'll circle back to this, but our listeners have heard me talk about this before on a number of occasions, is, you know, what we eat affects our gut microbiome, you know, the 100 trillion, you know, bacteria that live inside of us. And what we're finding is that these bacteria can secrete a number of neurotransmitters, and they really communicate not only with the brain, but with our gut, which is essentially our second brain. I mean, the number of neurons that are just, you know, focused in our gut is essentially equivalent to a cat or dog. And anyone who's a cat or dog owner will tell you, hey, my pet's pretty intelligent. They're pretty smart. You know, they can function. Right. Well, we have a brain the size of, you know, our pet, a cat or a dog, just within, you know, our gut, for the purpose of keeping us alive with food. And so there really is, I think, a lot of the attitude, behavior, et cetera, that is probably influenced to, I would say, a large degree by what we eat and our gut bacteria. What would you say on that?
I would say, yeah, you're completely right. It's amazing to think of that concept as like a second brain within our guts, but we really do, you know, I encourage people to really tune in and listen to their bodies because intuitively we know whether we're well or not. I think a lot of people, you know, may look healthy on the outside, but they've got IBS or Crohn's or they're, you know, something's going on. They're not pooping or not getting their period or something. I mean, there's just all sorts of stuff that's going on, but we have this this kind of well-oiled machine that's working really hard every second of every day to keep us healthy and strong. And when that gets out of balance, then everything kind of gets out of balance. So it's really, that's why I'm really passionate about getting people to turn back to what we know to be true, what we know works. I mean, fat-free has never been proven to work, but we had thousands of years where people lived a healthy lifestyle and had a healthy diet and thrived. So we need to turn back to that and listen to our bodies now.
Oh, well, I think you're right. And for folks who want to read a little bit about some of this, my new book just recently came out, Ancient Eats, which looks at potentially some of the benefits and certainly some of the foods. The first volume concentrates on two ancient cultures. So we have ancient Greece, which is the original Mediterranean diet. And then we go, you know, completely contrarian to the Mediterranean diet with the Viking diet. But, you know, one of the things that I've noticed sort of in my research, and I'd be interested to get your perspective on this, is that things really changed, you know, certainly with the Industrial Revolution, but particularly maybe in the last 50, 75 years or so, because there's been such an alteration to the food and the food pathways. And with the rise of the food industry, agribusiness as well, you know, this modern Western diet is built to kind of, I think, shut down that native response that you were talking about. Say, you know, I ate that. I don't feel so great. You know, maybe I should try eating something else. And it just plays with our pleasure centers and you know, addictive behaviors and things that were survival mechanisms hundreds of thousands of years ago become an Achilles heel. For example, the sweet response. You talked about diet sodas in the modern Western diet. And I know that they talk about this, too, you know, in the Weston Price Foundation. So I'd be interested to get your spin on that.
Yeah, I mean, the microbes in our gut control so much. So if you think about, I mean, I'm just going to give people a quick background on how you get or how the typical person might become imbalanced in today's world. And so when a baby goes through the birth canal, they swallow a big gulp of what populates their gut. And oftentimes there's so many C-sections nowadays that babies don't even get that. But if you imagine my gut flora compared to my great-grandmother's gut flora, she had a much richer, more diverse bacteria composition than I did. And so what a baby inherited back then was getting was a much healthier microbiome than what they inherit now. And the average baby has about 287 toxins in their cord blood alone, and then they're born inheriting a compromised gut flora. So starting out compromised, then they inherit a compromised gut flora, then they might get a vaccine day one or two of life, and then they might get an ear infection and get antibiotics, or they're not breastfed, and then they're getting processed foods and environmental toxins and whatnot. And so it all adds up, and these poor little babies can't get a head start. And so it's really hard to get. I'm like forgetting your question.
You brought up something important to me. So basically when I was a little kid and, you know, my mom would throw me outside and say, go play in the dirt. And I'd come back and I'd have, you know, skin knees and, you know, cause I was running around and falling down and just rub some dirt on that. You'd be okay. Right. The rubbing the dirt on it and getting it, that was actually a good thing.
Right. Well, and now these babies are so compromised. And the bad bacteria, what happens is the bad bacteria starts to outweigh the good. We all have good and bad in our inside of our guts, but the bad starts to outweigh the good, and then we have these tiny little villi, kind of grass-like structures in our gut lining. They get worn down, and they by the bad bacteria, and they create cracks in our gut lining. And what should stay within our guts gets out of our guts and into our bloodstream, and can launch, your body sees it as foreign and can launch an autoimmune response, or it can cross the blood-brain barrier and cause things like neurological issues like ADHD and autism and whatnot. So when the bad bacteria start to outweigh the good, they also control things like our taste buds. I mean, so some people have uncontrollable sugar cravings that they just can't shake. So it really is, we really are controlled in so many ways. Our diets are starting to be controlled by our microbiome.
Yeah, and I think that it does. And you know, I think, you know, it's there's obviously an interaction. We are what I've come to understand over the years of approaching it, you know, as a cardiologist, as a physician, you know, but also just enjoying really great tasting food. And for me, it's kind of what you said, which is that the food that really tastes great, has texture, has flavor that you put in your mouth, you know, what people come to a restaurant to get, you know, when they want to splurge, is real food. It's authentic food. You know, yet this modern Western diet is built to play on those weaknesses, and we become, you know, addicted. And then people are hitting the drive-thru, you know, for a Slurpee and, you know, something on a bun that's more oil and sugar and refined flour than anything else before they think about it. And now they're in this vicious, you know, addictive cycle. And like with all addictions, you know, I think we have to break that. So,
right. So for
the person out there who's listening to you and saying, yeah, you know, that's me. And I do want to feel better. But I can't help myself. I stop and I think I'm getting all these organic vegetables, and then I get home and I find out that, you know, it's just donuts. What can I do?
It's really important for people to wake up and say, you know, so because of the way I treated myself at UVA and before that and then shortly thereafter, that I couldn't have babies. I was 26 and couldn't hold a pregnancy for more than a couple of months. And for 4 years or 3 years, I suffered with infertility. And then I had bad skin. I had all sorts of issues. And then I had babies that had issues. And so finally through in vitro. But it's really, really, I can't stress enough, and this is my mission now with Live Yum Yum, my new brand, is to get people back in the kitchen, learning to cook, and taking control of their own health and preventing disease. Because once you have something, you're down the rabbit hole, and it's really hard to get back out. My husband was diagnosed with cancer 3 years ago, or 3.5 years ago maybe, and it has been a nightmare. I mean, a battle that I would not wish on anybody. And he will suffer for the rest of his life with side effects. And I mean, he's 47 and has to blend all of his foods.
Sorry.
And he had throat cancer. And so I feel so passionate that people wake up, and these 20-something kids that are starting to feel the effects of eating an entire childhood or having their entire childhood be based on processed foods. They're starting to, you know, I have a cousin whose daughter's a Division I athlete, and she, you know, has health issues. I guess I should be careful what I say. But I'm like, the people could track that back, who that is. But, you know, she had some issues, and she's 22, and I'm like, oh my gosh, these are not normal. And I think a lot of people just think this is kind of a new normal. But if you start to wake up and think, okay, I want to reproduce and have babies, and I want to have healthy babies, I better start taking care of myself. And it is a retraining of the taste buds. There has to be that desire to get back in the kitchen, the desire to be healthy, and it takes a little work sometimes. It's hard. It's not easy breaking sugar addictions, but once you have that taste of real food, you start to crave that. So you just have, and that's what the GAPS diet in my book is about, is like getting back to kind of a ground zero where you know what works for your body and what doesn't. And I think also a lot of what happened in this modern day way of eating is that, you know, women went back to work and, you know, however many 70 years ago, and that nobody ever replaced them. You know, and I'm not saying women shouldn't, and I find this, I struggle with this. My mom is visiting right now, and she's like, maybe you should stop doing all the stuff you're doing and just focus on your family. And it's hard to find the balance sometimes, you know, and I really make it a priority to sit around the kitchen table every night. But there has to be some sort of shift in the way we're thinking, the way we're doing things, because what we're doing right now isn't working, and people are really, really sick.
Well, I think you really, that was very well said, and I could not agree with you more. You know, I think that, one, as you said, it's not necessarily something that is easy. And my mission is, you actually summed up my mission very well. You know, I think we're very much in agreement here. And, you know, I would add, too, is that very often people, because of what's been put out there in the past and still continues because there's so much misinformation out there. So you talked about, oh, you know, it was no fat, low fat, and that was what was promoted. Well, as a chef, I'm going to tell you, fat's flavor. You know, that's what makes a lot of things taste good. And
so delicious.
And you, it is. And what we need to know is that it's about the quality of the ingredients that we choose.
Right.
And these quality ingredients, and as you said, we have to may have to work a little harder in the kitchen, but these quality ingredients can make the difference. And most importantly, at the end of the day, because as a psychology major, I'm going to ask for your professional opinion on this. You know, how we feel every day also affects our health. And if you're eating a diet that makes you miserable, that's going to have a detrimental, you know, effect on your immune system. It's going to have a detrimental effect on your health, probably some on your relationships, you know, over the long term. So, you know, what I say is there's no salvation in deprivation. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Maybe you just don't eat the whole cake at once, but the food
right.
can be absolutely delicious, but it's about the quality of what we choose. And you brought up something, you talked about the GAPS diet, and could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, the GAPS diet was started by Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride. She's a neurologist and a nutritionist in England. And she healed her own child of autism about maybe 20 years ago. And it stands for the gut and psychology syndrome. So it's the gut-brain connection. And it's an elimination diet. It's an offshoot of the specific carbohydrate diet, which was by Elaine Gottschall. But it's an elimination diet. There's a six-stage introduction diet where you basically eliminate anything that bad bacteria can feed off of. So you're going back to broths and stocks and meats cooked in the broth and non-fibrous veggies. You cut off, like, the stalks of the cauliflower and broccoli because, believe it or not, bad bacteria can feed off of that fiber. So you're basically starving off the bad bacteria. You may have what's called a die-off reaction where those little buggers are going out kicking and screaming, can make you feel really crappy for a while. So, you know, my kids all threw up within the first 24 hours. So all their little bad bacteria went, you know, came out, and that's how it manifested to them. My husband and I felt like we were kind of walking through mud for a couple weeks. It just depends on your level of illness. And then you graduate, you slowly move, you add an egg yolk in, and then you add avocado, and you slowly go through these stages, like 2 to 5 days per stage. And then you graduate to full GAPS, which is much like a paleo diet, with no grains and legumes and high fats and good quality meats. And then it is meant to be stayed on for a couple of years. And some people can just go straight to full GAP and do a lot of healing that way. And some people are super intimidated by bone broth and making kefir or yogurt, and they're like, I don't even dare venture into that. So starting off with the full GAPS diet is the way to go, and just familiarizing yourself with your kitchen and your sourcing. And then when you're ready, you go back to the introduction diet and do some further healing. But some people have autistic kids, or they're Weston Price members, and they're super charged up and ready to go and know how to do this, and they just start right from the intro. So, but it really gives your body a baseline of where you get back to, like, a baseline, and then as you slowly introduce foods, if you have a reaction, you know, okay, I'm not ready for egg yet, I'm going to go back a couple days and do the broth a little bit longer, and then I'll try it again. So it's a great, really great diet that I've get letters from people all over the world saying, you know, thank you so much, I'm healing for the first time with food alone. So
and I think you know, from a chef perspective, again, the quality of the egg that I'm going to put out
right.
there is going to affect the flavor. And what we also know, too, is that affects the nutrition. So if you have the hands are not stressed, They're pastured out. You know, they're kind of free range. They're eating their normal omnivorous diet. So, folks, when you see the thing, it says, oh, vegetarian fed, you know, chickens. That's not their natural diet. They get a lot of protein from eating bugs and sorts of other little creepy crawlies on the ground. You're going to get an egg. To me, certainly from a chef, again, a chef's perspective, there's just a huge difference, you know, when I crack that egg and the yolk is this, you know, vibrant yellow orange, you know, that correlates to the carotenes that it can be found in there, and a lot of the other benefits. Nutritionally, it's something different than, you know, the industrial product.
Oh,
so
yeah.
In the GAPS program, in the GAPS program, is that part of what you're teaching folks too?
Yes, you absolutely want to source the best quality food you can. I mean, I get flack still. My husband and I are, you know, fights used to be over how much food, how much money we spend on food. And then once he was diagnosed with cancer, he really saw the power of food as medicine, how much money you spend trying to get well with different protocols. I mean, I say to people, we've essentially gone broke chasing health. So if you think food, good quality food is expensive, think of it as your medicine, because you avoid the doctor. I mean, my kids never go to the doctor, or rarely at the doctor, aside from, you know, cancer, which was huge. But that's essentially bankrupt us, because we've been chasing how to get better when it could have all been prevented potentially in the first place by just, you know, it wasn't just food, but it was lifestyle factors and stress and whatnot. So the quality is huge, and I encourage people to seek out your farmers, reach out to your Weston Price chapter leaders. There's one in probably every state and around the world. They have them where they will be able to tell you. I had a woman call me this morning looking for a meat CSA. How do I save money on buying meat? So my father-in-law was just visiting and had our eggs, and he said, wow, these eggs are so, they taste so different from the eggs we have. So yeah. You will notice a difference as soon as you start to up your quality. It's just, it's such a better feeling, and knowing that you're supporting the farmers that are doing things right. We need that support right now. We need to reverse the trend that's going on with factory farming and whatnot. So,
local farmers. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I look at, you know, us out there, and you know, I could fill your evening with horror stories about the flack that I've gotten over the years for standing up. But, you know, people like you, you know, out on these front lines, you know, this is a war. You know, this is not easy to do, to get out there. You know, these companies have lots of money. They have, you know, vested interest in continuing, you know, this vicious addictive cycle of the modern Western diet. And what you hit on was key. Once folks can start tasting real food again, you're going to start to break that addictive habit. And for me, you know, the correlation is that, you know, folks come in, they have a heart attack, and many of them, you know, smoke. And that's one of the most powerful, modifiable risk factors. So, you know, we help them. And then the ones that are successful quitting cigarette smoking often will come back on a follow-up visit and say, you know, I can't even stand to be in a room where somebody's smoking anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I smoke 2 packs a day, and now if I smell it in a room, I have to leave because I'm getting physically sick. Doc, how did I ever do that? And I think that's an appropriate correlation to what I've found when I've been able to help people break the modern Western diet. Would you agree with that? And also, you mentioned folks finding resources like the Weston Price Foundation. Can you tell folks how they can find those resources and how they can find you?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Once people taste real food, it's like you can't go back. You know, like when I go out to eat, I sometimes get paralyzed. I'm like, oh God, like what am I eating?
I
went to a museum with my mom yesterday, and it's like, yeah.
It's like first class, right? It's like that Seinfeld episode, you know, Jerry, I can't go back behind the curtain.
I know. I mean, it's like sometimes I encourage people with this too. Sometimes you have to bless it, and the stress of it all can also wreak havoc on your gut. So if you're so righteous and so stressed out about every tiny thing that goes in your body, then that's not healthy either. But with this book, the Heal Your Gut Cookbook, our cookbook, we set out on this mission to show people that you can eat beautiful and nutritious and delicious foods and still heal. It doesn't have to be this deprivation, starvation, you know, cardboard, whatever, juicing, cleansing diet. It's very nourishing and grounding and delicious. So I think people are amazed by that. They're like, wow, this actually really tastes good, and I feel so much better. And it's a way of eating for life. It's not like you have to do this for 2 years and then you're going to go back and get to go do all these things that you used to do. You're pretty much at that point, and some people don't stay on it for that long. I don't want to deter people from it because it sounds so daunting and so extensive. But you at that point, you've changed completely. Your outlook on everything has changed, so you're not going to want to go back to Dunkin' Donuts or McDonald's or factory farm meats or anything. Your awareness has changed, and you feel good. So, and then in terms of reaching out for resources,
I think that's the key.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's the key. And if you could give us real quick where folks can find you and get this book.
Yeah, so, well, the book is the Heal Your Gut Cookbook. It's on Amazon or healyourgutcookbook.com. My new brand is Live Yum Yum, LiveYumYum. And that's, I'm mostly on Instagram and Facebook, and that's where I'm showing people what we're cooking up as a family of seven, 2 to 3 times a day. So you can get inspiration that way. And then in terms of resources, really reach out to the Weston A. Price chapter leaders. If you go to their site, westonaprice.org, and click on Find a Chapter Leader, you'll be able to find resources within your area.
That is great. Thank you, Hillary, so much for being here today. As a fellow Wahoo, you make me proud. And hey, folks, until we meet again, may the only pain in your life be champagne.